प्रायेषु भद्रेषु प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दिनाय च देवकी नन्दिनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। कथाश्री भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड यादव इधर डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभास
Yeah.
Shashapat. Because of the curse of Prajapati Daksha. Brahitaha seized Yakshamana, the consumptive lung disease. Udurat, the king of stars, the moon. Muktaha, free. Kilbishat, from his sinful reaction. Sadhyaha, immediately. Bhaji, he assumed. Bhuryaha, once again. Kala, of his phases. Udayam, the increasing. Translation. Once the moon is afflicted with consumption because of the curse of Daksha, but just by taking a bath at Prabha's Kshetra, the moon is immediately freed from a sinful reaction and again resumed the waxing of his phases. This is 37:38. By bathing at Prabha's Kshetra, by offering sacrifice there to placate the forefathers and demigods, by feeding the vegetable Brahmins with various delicious foodstuffs, and by bestowing opulent gifts upon them as the most suitable candidates for charity, we will certainly cross over these terrible dangers through such acts of charity, just as one can cross over a great ocean in a suitable boat. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanishalakaya Chakshurunmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kampatarudhascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this morning, discussing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, where Krishna is addressing the letters and asking them to go to Prabha's Kshetra. So I seek the blessings of all the senior devotees so that I can speak something on this section of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is coming towards its end in terms of the narrative of Krishna Lila over here. The 10th and 11th cantos talk about Krishna Lila, and 10th canto talks primarily about Krishna Lila, and 11th canto talks primarily about Krishna Shiksha. And the major part of the 11th canto is the Krishna Shiksha given by Krishna to Uddhava, the Uddhava Gita. But prior to that, Krishna is telling the Yadus, now they have seen some inauspicious signs all around them. And he is telling them to go to Prabhas Kshetra to counter these inauspiciousness. And for that purpose, he refers to the Puranic lore, the Puranic stories about the glory of Prabhas Kshetra, by which he encourages them to go to Prabhas. So, in Krishna Lila, there is a very significant interplay of dharma, of we could say aparadharma and paradharma. Aparadharma is we could say material religion, and paradharma is transcendental religion. This contrast is especially highlighted toward the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Sarva Dharmayam Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Not all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. There are some Hindu scholars who cannot digest the idea, how can God tell people to give up dharma? Sarva Dharmayam Parityajya, God has said, Krishna has said that I come here to establish the dharma sansthapana arthaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. So, some of them, they say that actually, over the generations when the Gita was being written down again and again, some people made a mistake in writing the Gita. So actually there has to be an A before Sarva Dharman. So it is Sarva Adharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. I will give up all Adharma and surrender to me. So how can God tell us to give up Dharma? But actually speaking, if you look at the context of the Gita, Arjuna, for whom adharma was not an option. Arjuna, his dilemma was, should I fight and do my kshatriya dharma, or should I avoid fighting and do my kula dharma? Kula dharma is protecting my dynasty. So for him, the two choices were of two different kinds of dharma. So adharma was not an option for him. And Krishna's answer is, that not that he got dharma and become adharmic, rather, his Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Adopt that dharma by which you can take shelter of me. Mr. Prabhupada said in a lecture that as far as Sarva Dharmayam Parityajya is concerned, even victims will know that. They will give up all duties. Mr. Prabhupada said, I came and taught them how to do Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. How to surrender to Krishna. How to become devoted to Krishna, which is the Paradharma. So, Krishna tells Arjuna to take up Paradharma. Topmost dharma. But then, how do we take up the topmost dharma? It is not by giving up all worldly dharma. It is, Arjuna fights the war. In his fighting, he is doing kshatriya dharma. So the point of the Gita is not to necessarily reject the material for the spiritual. Arjuna has to do something in this world. So either he does it in kshatriya dharma or kula dharma. So, at the material level of consciousness, if Arjuna is going to choose, okay, is kshatriya dharma the right thing? Oh, my wife has been dishonored, my brothers have been dispossessed. I have to get action against the aggressors. That's my kshatriya dharma. My citizens will be exploited, I have to protect them. But then, the opposite side are my cousins, they are the children of my uncle, my grandfather is there. How can I fight against them? It's my core dharma to protect them. So, at this level when Arjuna gets caught, should I do kshatriya dharma, should I do kula dharma? So, the message of the Bhagavad Gita is that raise one's consciousness to a spiritual level. And when you get too caught in integrated, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? The Gita says, focus on how you can serve Krishna, how you can take shelter of Krishna. Make that the supreme criteria. And then in that context, taking shelter of Krishna is not just an ethereal activity, just in the mind under shelter. No, we have to do something practically in this world also. And in Arjuna's context, for him to take shelter of Krishna was by doing his kshatriya dharma. But he was not doing kshatriya dharma as a kshatriya. He was doing that kshatriya dharma as a devotee. So, a devotee does not necessarily reject the material for the spiritual. A devotee accepts the spiritual and then chooses the material that serves the spiritual. So, chooses the material that serves the spiritual. And we see this again in the Ras Leela also. At one level, when Krishna calls the gopis, they rush out. And some people will say that it is for a woman to leave their home at night to go to see some other man. That might be, that's wrong. But then, after the whole Ras Leela gets over, at the end it is said that when the gopis came back, their family members are not resentful. Because Yogamaya had created an illusion that the gopis were there at home itself. So what does this mean? That at one level, the gopis are demonstrating, through the Bhagavatam narration, demonstrating that the gopis are ready to give everything for Krishna's sake. But at the same time, Krishna is also making sure that social dharma is preserved. The people are not disturbed. So, in general, whenever there is education, especially there is education, say we could say, we could, spiritual education or preaching, that can be of three types. It is called as polemic, apologetic, and ironic. The word we need, the concepts are very simple. Polemic means what? I prove that you are wrong. So my purpose is to prove that you are wrong. So polemic preaching means you go on the offensive. Now, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Materialistic philosophy is like this, materialistic people are like that, and this like that. All this is polemic. The other kind of preaching is apologetic. Apologetic means I am not wrong. I am right. So they say, hey, you people, you believe in God? God is unscientific. You believe in those idea of a soul? Where is the proof for it? So apologetic means we establish that what we are doing is right. Apologetic is not the apology, it's a definite word. The apologetic simply means that to prove that I am right. And the third is called as ironic. Ironic means that actually we both are right. So, there is some element of rightness in you also, and there is some element of rightness in yours. And let us try to find out what is right in each. So, if you see, all three modes are required, may be required at different phases. And the Vedanta Sutra is actually the third sutra is Tattu, fourth sutra is Tattu Samanvayat. Vedanta Sutra says, inquire about spiritual truth. Hato Brahma Jikyas. What is Brahma? Brahma is Janmadhyasyataha, that from which everything comes. Third is Shastra Yoritva, we can learn from Shastra. But then, Shastra also teaches so many things. So what do you do? Tattu Samanvaya, reconcile things. The truth is to be understood through harmonization, through reconciliation. So for stability in any situation, there has to be reconciliation. Like a kingdom is there. A kingdom is under attack, the kingdom is different. A kingdom in expansion mode, they'll attack someone else. But for the kingdom to be stable, there has to be a clear demarcation. Okay, this is our territory, and you have your territory, we have our territory. So, similarly, when we are practicing bhakti, we are trying to live a spiritual way in the material world. And the mainstream civilization is materialistic. So because of the materialistic civilization, the materialistic education that is there, and the spiritual culture, the spiritual education, there can always be conflict between the two. And there are some areas of conflict where we point out how the materialistic ideas are wrong. There are some areas where the materialistic culture will say that, you are wrong, then we will have to explain how we are right. But overall, there has to be balance. Okay, this is material, this is spiritual. And for functional purposes, we also have to use material things. So, the Upanishad said, Vidyancha Vidyancha Yastad Vedobhyamsaha. That with Vidya and with Avidya. Together, one can live fearlessly. One can go through his material existence. So, Avidya here refers not to ignorance. Avidya refers to material knowledge. So, by spiritual knowledge and by material knowledge, we can live together harmoniously in this world. So when we are especially cultivating learning things, so at that time in the education system there is material knowledge that is given. In the scriptures we get primary spiritual knowledge. So of course this is, there are not just clear cut areas of jurisdiction, but there is a broad demarcation. So if we are clear what I am studying, what for, then the conflict becomes substantially lower. So I'll explain what I mean by this. Once a group of 10 children, 10 kids, they came to from a small town, they came to a city. They wanted to go around and see the city. So they decided, this city has a big building. So we'll go and stay. We want to stay in the biggest building. We will tell everyone, we stay in such a big building. So they found there was a hotel. There was 100-story. So they went right to the 100-story. 100th floor, and then they got a room over there. They kept their things, came down the elevator, and they went around to see various places. When they came back in the evening, they found that actually there was no power in the hotel. That means now they have to climb up 100 floors. So one of them got an idea. So he said, let us tell stories to each other. He says, I'll tell one story and then you can tell another story. And like that, if all of us tell stories, each of us can tell stories which is for 10 levels. And by the time the title means 100 level, we will forget the boredom because we'll be entertained by the stories. And all of them started telling stories, first person, first boy, second boy, first child, second boy, third child, like that they all started telling. And some of them told a little longer stories. So by the time they came to the 95th level, at that time, the 9th person completed the story. And then they all told to the 10th person, please tell me a story. He says, no, I cannot tell my story. So please tell. He said, you all told. He says, no, my story is a tragedy. If I tell the story, it will break your heart. He says, no, please tell. They're talking about climbing up also. Just tell them, 12 floors, no, I will not tell, tell, I will not tell. They came to 99, finally to 100. He says, this last person said, no, I have to tell you my story. I have forgotten the key downstairs. So the whole purpose of climbing up is to go into the room, and for that the key is essential. But we got so caught up in entertaining each other, or thinking, oh, how difficult it is to climb up, and then finding a way to amuse themselves while climbing up, they forgot that we didn't have the key with us. So modern materialistic education is like climbing up the 100th floor without having the key. So what happens is that yes, by living in the world, there are a lot of things to be done, and just like the children actually climbed up the 100th floor, there's no denying that they went up. So similarly, today if we see in the world, especially most modern education is shaped by science. And science has ascended substantially on the, we could say, tower of knowledge. We know a lot of things which, say, a few hundred years ago, people did not know. So there is no denying the fact that there is substantial, in some ways, dramatic advancement of knowledge. And this knowledge has resulted in some things. If you see, originally, Socrates and Plato, they are Greek philosophers. And their idea was, knowledge is virtue. Knowledge is virtue means, the purpose of knowledge is so that we can develop good qualities. But as science started progressing, one of the prominent thinkers who shaped the trajectory of science was Francis Bacon. And he said, knowledge is power. So the idea is, knowledge is power means, when we talk about virtue refers to
changing ourselves internally so that we become better. And the idea of knowledge is power was that we try to control the outer world. And the whole idea was nature out there is bad. See, traditionally, whether it is the East or the West, the understanding of nature is like a mother. But as through the progress of science and its result technology, people try to control nature more and more. And to some extent, there is success, some extent there is failure. So the relationship with nature changed from harmony to control. And there are thinkers, Francis Bacon himself and the thinkers of his time, they said actually nature is not a mother. She's a stepmother. She's so cruel. She causes so much suffering to us. And in fact, one of the later thinkers, he said actually nature is not even a stepmother. Nature is a whore. If you don't control her, she will cause havoc to everyone. And the way to control her is through technology, through the power of technology. So the idea was, when we say knowledge is power, the focus shifts entirely to controlling the external. And so today's education, it actually offers very little guidance about how to control the inner world or what the ultimate purpose of life is. So, Werner Heisenberg, there was a conversation between Werner Heisenberg and Albert Einstein. And Heisenberg tells Einstein that, you know, our modern Western civilization, it is like a magnificent ship. It has fuel, it has facilities, it has comforts, it has crew, but it has no map and no destination. It has no map and no destination. So it doesn't know where it is to go and doesn't know how to go there. So, in terms of the ultimate purpose of life, then it's very difficult to get knowledge from the from modern scientific education. So basically three things are there: origin, value, and purpose. Purpose means what am I supposed to ultimately achieve in life? Like going up the tree, up the building. What is the purpose of going up there? I'm climbing up there for what? What is the ultimate purpose? That is not known. Value means, okay, what is right and what is wrong? What should be done, what should not be done? There is very little education about that also. And origin, where did everything come from? That is not known. So now, here, while talking about all this in relationship with Prabhasis, Krishna telling Arjuna to go, Krishna telling the others to go to Prabhasis, actually, here we see a material signs of disaster are coming. That there is some auspiciousness coming, and Krishna is telling them, okay, go here and do this. Take this bath over here, by which these are stories in the past also somebody was cursed, no, the moon was cursed, and the curse was mitigated by bathing in Prabhasa. Similarly, we have been cursed, we can also mitigate the curse by bathing in Prabhasa. So the idea is that there is, in the past, there was, I started by talking about Paradharma and Aparadharma. Paradharma is spiritual, transcendental religion. Aparadharma is material religion. So material religion comprised of dharma, artha, kama. The idea was, we all need some material facilities for living in this world. And those material facilities, in the past, people got through their religion. And by getting those material facilities, people would move forward in their lives. In today's world, Prabhupada writes also in the first canto, first second purpose itself, that whereas in the past people would get artha through dharma, people are now giving up dharma, and people are getting artha simply through industrial development, through social economic planning. I think that's the way to get up. So artha means financial growth. So, in many ways, the purpose that was served by Aparadharma is material religion. The purpose that was served by Aparadharma in the past is served by modern science-based technology in today's world. In the past, if somebody has a disease, oh, you go to a okay, chant some mantra or do some ritual by which illness is going to go. Okay, now, okay, take this medicine. Science, especially now, science is often thought of as a very intellectual field. It is, definitely intelligence is used in science. But if you see in terms of purpose, so if you see in the Vedic context, there is karma, there is jnana, and there is bhakti. So, karma is, the way this is to be understood is that, now karma, the purpose is to karma romanticizes the world. Romanticizing the world means, oh, if you just adjust this, if you just adjust this, everything will be wonderful in life. So karma kanda involves romanticizing the world. Jnana demonizes the world. Everything is terrible over here. Everything is temporary, everything is suffering, everything is illusion. Just have to get out of here. The process of bhakti goes beyond both of this. Neither romanticizing nor demonizing, but utilizing. Bhakti doesn't romanticize the world. Romanticize means just make some adjustments, everything will become wonderful. Demonizing means actually this world is useless. Everything is miserable. But we are living this world, isn't it? For most of us, we are living this world. Bhakti says that actually we have to use this world. So interestingly, that this idea of this world, romanticizing the world means what? That we think that this world is the place where we can become happy if we make some adjustments. So in karma kanda, the adjustments that are thought of are religious adjustments. In today's world, the adjustments that are thought of are technological adjustments. If you just made up this technology, if you just made this other, if you just do this, then we become happy. In fact, there is a whole field of scientific and technological development which is called as transhumanism. What is this transhumanism? The idea is they say that humanity is faced with problems. And we want to solve this problem. And striking, the problem they talk about is old age, there is disease, there is death, and there is birth. We want to solve these problems. Of course, for them birth is, not literally birth is a little existence, for them birth is birth control. They want to do abortion. But the point is, old age, disease is similar. So the idea is that the same problem they are talking about, but the hope is, through technological advancement, we solve these problems. But these problems cannot be solved because matter by nature itself is temporary. So, coming back to this section, how I am relating science with what Krishna is saying, scientific education or technology, with this, what Krishna is talking about over here is, that there is material and there is spiritual. There is aparavidya and there is paravidya. There is aparadharma, there is paradharma. So, this combination is, in a rough sense, we could say, if a patient is very sick, the patient is very sick and is in great pain. Now, for the patient to be cured, the patient needs a curative medicine, say a proper antibiotic or a surgery or whatever. The curative medicine is required. But the curative medicine often takes time to heal. Now, while the curative medicine is being taken, at that time, for the patient to be able to cope with the pain, sometimes a painkiller is also given. So the pain medicine is not the cure, but sometimes it can give the person the patience to endure as the cure starts working. So when we say vidyancha vidyancha sadvedarham saha, the Isha Prashad said that with material knowledge and spiritual knowledge, one will go beyond material existence. So material knowledge is like the painkiller. Spiritual knowledge is like the actual medicine. So the painkiller, if the pain is not, the painkiller is essential. And the painkiller will be essential. But by no means, even if it is necessary, is it sufficient? In some cases, it may not be necessary. So when this is the pain might not be so much that a painkiller is required. But the whole point is, the painkiller is not important. The important thing is, take the medicine. The medicine, the curative medicine is what is going to cure the person. So now, the painkiller medicine part, to some extent in the past, was served by the functions of dharma artha kama, by the apara dharma that was there. Whatever worldly needs were there, they are taken care of through the painkillers. And those very needs today are taken care of through science and technology. The immediate material needs that are there, that technology is taking care of that. There can be two extremes. One is that somebody thinks, oh, I take this painkiller, the pain goes away. So the painkiller is all that I need. Why should I take this medicine? So if somebody does that, that is the idea that people do karma kanda and they think there is no need for Vedanta, there is no need for bhakti. Krishna talks about karma. Those who are addicted to karma kanda only, Krishna says that they are foolish, anupashchita. They are like patients who take only the painkiller. Similarly, there are people who feel that just through science and technological advancement we solve all problems. There is no need for God, there is no need for spirituality. That is one extreme, which is an illusion. Material things will not lead to any lasting solutions. The painkiller can never cure the disease. So to think that the painkiller alone is enough is a mistake. But on the other extreme, to think that I'll take only the medicine, I'll not touch the painkiller only. Well, that is not necessary. In some cases, when the disease is very painful, the painkiller will be needed. So, the problem is not taking the painkiller. The problem is taking only the painkiller. So similarly, in whatever situation we are in, say today we are in a modern material world, at this time, for functioning here, technology is required. Now, which painkiller a particular patient takes, if the painkiller is basically serving the purpose of alleviating the pain, then which painkiller the person is taking is not as important as whether the person is taking the medicine or not. As long as the person is taking the medicine, and for that it's taking the medicine, for dealing with the pain, some painkiller is required. Whether from this company, that company, as long as it helps in dealing with the pain, that's good enough. So like that, for us as devotees, when we are trying to practice bhakti in this world, the most important thing is that we practice bhakti. We chant Hare Krishna and we grow spiritually. This is what will help us to achieve life's ultimate goal. This is what will help us to actually find happiness within. And while we are living in this world, we may need a painkiller. So even if we take it as, even if you use scientific technology, the facilities provided by that, as long as we understand, this is not a source of answers to ultimate questions. The painkiller is not the cure for the disease. So the whole methodology of science is that it doesn't look for ultimate questions. Now some scientists may extrapolate science beyond its jurisdiction and claim that science provides ultimate answers. But science actually does not go towards ultimate questions at all. Science only looks at functional things. Okay, how does the world exist right now? How does the world function right now? I will conclude with one example of how science does not look for ultimate answers, or science is not authorized to give ultimate answers. And then we can have some question answers and discussion. Many of you may have read some mystery novels. Now, if they find that in a particular room there's a person who has been murdered, and I have to find out who murdered that person. At 9 o'clock in the morning somebody went there, this person was alive. 3 o'clock when somebody went there, he was dead. Now, we look at the camera. Who all look at the camera at the door to see who all went inside the house? So actually 3 people went inside. One was a 5-year-old boy. Now he didn't have enough strength to put the knife into the person who's been killed with the knife. He could not have put in the knife. Then there is a 75-year-old grandmother. She also could not have put the knife. Then there's a 22-year-old butler. The attendant. No, he also went inside. He must have killed. So now, when investigators investigate like this, and they conclude, okay, this butler must have killed this owner of the house. Now, is it something that is proven? No, you cannot tell our murderer, you know, we have to prove that you murdered, so please come and murder in front of us once again. The crime cannot be replicated. And when some inference, so this is in all detective fiction, in all kinds of investigation, it's actually an inference. And it's an inference to the best explanation. That it's called IBE. I'll talk about how this applies to science. It's an inference to the best explanation. Okay, in this he could not, the boy could not have done, the grandmother could not have done, therefore this man must have done. But this inference is always a guesswork. Because the investigators may not know that in that house itself, in the closet, there's a trap door. And that trap door goes out into the garden and there's an opening over there. And the murderer came in through that tunnel, through the trap door, killed and went back again through the top door. So when you make any inference, the inference is made based on the available knowledge. And if there is something else involved, and if you don't know that, the inference can be totally wrong. An innocent person can be punished. So, what is the point of all this detective fiction? Example, the point is that the science really studies the world. So, science normally, most of you in science, you do experiments. So, when you do experiment, the idea is, okay, Newton saw fruit falling. Last year, when I went to UK, I gave a talk in Cambridge University. So, they always took me by the tree where Newton is said to have seen the fruit falling. It's like a pilgrimage place for scientists. So, now, instead of Newton, if at that time a monkey had been sitting over it, what would the monkey have done? The monkey would just pick up the fruit, eaten it, and gone away. Newton, he asked, what made this fruit fall? And then that's how the theory of gravity came up. So the point is that with respect to the theory of gravity, it's about how this world functions. We can do experiments and repeat things. But in science, most of the science works by repeated experiments, repeatable experiments. But so this is the jurisdiction of science where it works quite well. How the world functions right now in terms of laws. The repeatable experiment is possible. But when science starts inquiring about origins, where everything came from, how the universe came about, how life came about, there is no repeatable experiment over there. So, normal science, when it functions, it uses the method of induction. Induction means do the same experiment again and again and again, and then repeat and therefore come to a theory. But when it comes to origins, science uses a different methodology. That is called as the same method that investigators use for investigating a crime. Okay, this was here, this was here, this was here. Therefore, this is how it came about. And so, any scientific theory about origins, it is guesswork. It is like an inference to best explanation. And that's why it is never as reliable as any other scientific theory. So, the point is that whenever there is any conflict, we see that the point is that if you consider science simply as a tool for acquiring knowledge here, then in the past we will see Krishna telling people to do aparadharma. Okay, to go and take a bath in your head, by this the curse will go away. So similarly, today people may use science and technology for dealing with some problems, but that is simply the painkiller. The important thing is not whether we take a painkiller or not, or which painkiller we take. The important thing is that we take the medicine. So, is there a conflict between the painkiller and the medicine? Not necessarily. The conflict can happen if people say painkiller only is enough, medicine is not required. Or if people think take only the medicine, you are not allowed to buy the painkiller. Then there is a conflict. But if you understand, painkiller serves this purpose, the curative medicine serves that purpose. And then both can be harmonized. So similarly, if you understand that I am practicing spiritual life to grow spiritually, to learn to love Krishna, to become a better person, a better person in the service of Krishna, then, and for living in this world, for functioning in this world, I may use various things. In the past, people may have used various. In the past, people cured themselves through Ayurveda. Now we will cure ourselves through allopathy. The point is that not how I cure my body, but the point is what I use my body for. So spiritual knowledge is primarily about the purpose, what we are using our body for. And that purpose, if we keep in mind, then the conflict can be substantially minimized. And we use material knowledge, whatever is available, for the purpose of functioning in this world. And we use spiritual knowledge for going towards Krishna. So, the way I often put this is that, science and technology, they can make things better. So science can make things better, spirituality can make people better. You know, to develop qualities, knowledge as virtue, not knowledge as power. That knowledge cannot come through science. Ultimately, to develop virtue, the supreme virtue of love for Krishna, that will come only through the practice of bhakti. So here Krishna is telling the sage, okay, you are facing this curse, go and do this, it will solve the problem. So, at this level, if we see the Bhagavatam, we ultimately show that the solution is bhakti. Parikshit Maharaj, he doesn't resort in every situation to any material way. He will try to counter curse and try to defend, just take shelter of Krishna. But we see Arjuna, he decides to fight. And for fighting, he uses the knowledge of Bhagavatam, the archer which he has used. So in different times, place, circumstance, you may choose to use material knowledge, you may choose not to use material knowledge. And which material knowledge you may choose to use, that may also vary. But the important thing is, our scriptural understanding determines the spiritual purpose of our life. And we focus on achieving that purpose. So I'll summarize. I talked here about the section of Krishna telling Baladevas to go to Prabhas to be aid so that they can counter the curse. So they are countering the curse with activity like bathing in a sacred river. That is basically a material solution to a material problem. Dharmic material solution, but since it's aparadharma, it's not paradharma. I talked about how in the bhakti literature there is this dynamic interrelationship between aparadharma and paradharma. Krishna tells Arjuna, sarvadharma pratyaj, give up all aparadharma and just surrender to me. But for surrendering, Arjuna has to adopt in this world where he is functioning some aparadharma. He adopts the aparadharma kshatriya. But he doesn't think of Vijaya kshatriya fighting. He thinks, understand that I am so doing kshatriya activity right now in the service of Krishna. So the function that aparadharma served in the past, that is operating in this world, living in this world in a harmonious way, in many ways that function is today served through science and technology. So whereas in the past, in the east or the west, knowledge was seen as need for virtue. The science and technology based ethos of knowledge focused on knowledge as power. So instead of making ourselves better by controlling our inner emotions, inner drives, the whole purpose of education began controlling the external world so that we can enjoy better. So although science involves intellectual dynamic aspects to it, but its purpose is very much materialistic, to enjoy this world. So in that sense, science is not like jnana, it is more like karma. Karma romanticizes the world. Oh, we just adjust some things, we'll become happy over it. Jnana demonizes this world. Just, this world is hopeless, get out of here. Bhakti utilizes the world. So, science also is like romanticizing the world. It is like karma. I talk about transhumanism. It says through technological advancement, we solve problems like old age, disease, death, and birth. And to understand the relationship between the aparavidya and paravidya, to the metaphor of a person who is sick, the aparavidya, the material knowledge, is like painkiller. The spiritual knowledge is like a curative medicine. And both can be in harmony. So when there is preaching, it can be polemic, you are wrong, apologetic, I am right, ironic. You know, both of us have our points of rightness. So, there are occasions when we need to be polemic or apologetic. But for sustainable practice of bhakti, we need to understand this ironic zone. Okay, this is the area where I use painkiller for controlling the medicine. And the curative medicine where I use for really healing the medicine. So, like for functioning in this world, we need some material knowledge. Whether it is
Say for example, there is Ayurveda for curing my body, or whether it is allopathy, whether it is some Vedic kind of knowledge, or whether it is Vedic literal knowledge, or whether it contributes scientific knowledge. If you understand this purpose is a painkiller, then that's good enough. We can use painkiller from any source. The problem comes when people think the painkiller alone is enough, or the painkiller will cure the disease. So when you start thinking that science and technology alone can give me all knowledge, it can solve all problems, but it can answer ultimate questions, then it becomes a problem. So I discussed through the example of this investigative fiction, that science, it can answer reliably through repeated experiments about how things work right now. When it comes to origins, it is very speculative. It is like guesswork, inference to best explanation. That's why it's not very reliable. So the painkiller, if people think painkiller only enough, they are mistaken. But while people understand the need to take the medicine, now whether they take a painkiller or don't take a painkiller or which painkiller they take, that is not a big issue. So we can focus primarily on practicing bhakti, which is a real medicine, and whatever material arrangements we make, we make them and move onwards with our devotional life. So which painkiller works best for us, we take it so that we can focus on the medicine. And to conclude, the difference of jurisdiction is that this painkiller controls the pain, and the disease is healed by the medicine. Like that, technology can be treated better in the external world to some extent. But it is spirituality which makes people better, which ultimately enables to love Krishna and attain lasting happiness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions?
Hello, Mr. Shiva. Thank you for having the class, and also the way in which it is presented is very clear. You mentioned also three things that I didn't quite capture. One of the three was purpose.
Yeah.
What were those three things again?
So what were the three things that science cannot tell us about? That's origin, value, and purpose. Origin means where I came from, where everything came from. That is something which is beyond the jurisdiction of science, because the origin is not a repeatable thing. It happened once. Value means values. So what is right, what is wrong? So ethical decisions is something which science cannot tell us to. Science can tell us that, okay, if there is an embryo in the womb, you put this medicine, the embryo will be killed. But whether to be that or not, that we have to know from somewhere else. So value, right and wrong, and purpose means what is the ultimate goal of life. Origin, value, and purpose, that is something which science cannot tell us. For that we need scripture. Thank you. Okay, Mataji. Okay.
Thank you very much. Really for this class. Reflection that I had. So for 7 years I've always thought there's not enough time in this life, bhakti, but I also thought that life is often feels like it's too long, not too short, and powerful of the needing the painkiller to be able to outlast the amount of time it takes to make the medicine work has really helped me add more perspective to that idea I've had. But I had the question, it seems a bit priority track, what it means to keep the medicine going so that we can keep it working, and at the same time take the appropriate painkillers to be able to hold out, as it were, or whatever it might take. There are different views, and the upper and upper may talk to certain painkiller methods that are specifically even conducive to spiritual life. For example, if technology is just a painkiller, but in itself may not be conducive to spiritual life, and that might lead to different perspectives in this kind of society. Yeah. And just speaking to that problem coming up in a different way.
Okay, yeah. So there is a plan that there will be a longer question answer session. So those of the class is over. If you want to leave, you can leave. We'll be having a question answer till almost 4:00.